The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith and not by works. But the Bible also emphasizes the importance of good works and even says we will be judged of our works and receive rewards for them. Now, how are we to reconcile this? Stay tuned for an in-depth discussion of heavenly rewards.
Lamb and Lion Ministries presents Christ in Prophecy, a program that focuses on the fundamentals of Bible prophecy, showing how current events in the news relate to biblical predictions of end time events and the soon return of Jesus. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Reagan.
Greetings in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope, and welcome to Christ in Prophecy. I am delighted to have as our special guest on today's program, my pastor, Glenn Meredith. He is the pastor of Brookhaven Church in McKinney, Texas, and he has been the pastor of that church for over 30 years. Glenn, welcome to Christ in Prophecy.
Thank you, Brother David.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Joy to be here.
Well, thanks. Folks, I am also glad to have my colleague Nathan Jones here to help me interview. Nathan?
Great to be here. Good to meet you, Pastor Glenn.
Nice to see you, brother.
Folks, Pastor Meredith is a very gifted communicator who is able to present the depths of God's Word in simple to understand language. Last fall, he presented a sermon about heavenly rewards that deeply impressed and blessed me, and I immediately invited him to share some of his thoughts with you. So Glenn, let's get right into this thing right now. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith and not by works, and I mean it says that point blank. And yet the Bible is full of passages. I think of one in Titus, for example, that talk about how important good works are and how we're going to be judged of them and how we're going to be rewarded of them. How do you reconcile that?
Well, just like you were saying in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it talks about very clearly, without any mistake, that we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet, the very next verse says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which He has before ordained that we should walk in." So the Bible is very clear to say that there's not any way in the world that we could ever work our way to heaven. We couldn't in a million years do enough good works to ever merit salvation from God. It is completely and totally by His grace. He gives us the gift of eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when through faith we receive Jesus into our life, however, Jesus comes in the person of the Holy Spirit, and He gives us a brand new heart. He gives us a brand new nature. He transforms us. And one of the things He does is He gives us a desire to do something for Him, a desire to do good works. And so we're saved by grace, but that same grace that saves us transforms us into people who want to work for Him. The amazing thing is that God has all these works then that He's planned for us in advance for us to do. And then an amazing thing about God is He is so good. Not only does He save us by grace, does He motivate us by grace, He empowers us by grace. Then an amazing thing is He says, "And I'll reward you for all that I'm doing through your life." So it's an amazing thing. But one of these days we'll have great rewards in heaven as we follow the Lord.
You know, I found in my experience that most Christians have heard so much preaching about salvation by grace through faith that they are not even aware of the fact that one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged of our works, not to determine our eternal destiny,
exactly,
but to determine degrees of reward. I think most people are not aware that there's a day that's coming, that we are going to be judged. For example, how did we use our gifts to advance the kingdom of God?
Right. I think that is so true. I think that is one of the areas where I think the devil has really just blinded the minds of believers. I think he's just lied to Christians. I can't tell you how many times I talk to Christian people and I'll, maybe they do something and I'll say, "Boy, great's gonna be a reward." And they go into this, I won't be rewarded. And it's almost as though if they think about the reward, they're not gonna get a reward. Mm-hmm. They almost think as though that somehow God doesn't want them to be motivated by the reward. And yet just the opposite is true. Over and over again, the Bible tells us that God is going to reward us. In fact, some of the last verses of the Bible, Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me."
Yes.
And so God wants us to be motivated by reward.
Well, I like to often put it this way, that there's good news and bad news about judgment. The good news is that we're never going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged of our works to determine our eternal destiny. That is never going to happen.
That's right.
But we are going to stand before Him and be judged of our works to determine our degrees of reward. Mm-hmm. And along that line, the Bible even indicates that there may be some people who would receive no rewards whatsoever except eternal life.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
That's exactly right.
Over in
it's kind of a scary thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about that we'll be judged and as by fire, and that our works will be judged, and those works that are deemed valuable to God, illustrated by gold, silver, and precious stones, will last. And it says those who have those kinds of rewards will be rewarded. And then it says others who have works that are characterized or illustrated by wood, hay, and stubble, things that are worthless to God in God's sight, it says it will be burned up, but they themselves will be saved, yet as by fire.
Yeah,
it's what a tragedy.
Kind of an image of a guy being saved with his tail feathers burned.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Made it in, but that's it. And too many Christians, I think, almost have the attitude that, well, that's all I care about. If I just make it to heaven, they think I'll be fine.
Well, a lot of them are fearing the judgment of the just because they think that there's some kind of punishment. You hear a lot of people are under this impression that they're going to heaven, there'd be a giant movie screen,
absolutely,
and every sin of their life is projected up there. Well, that would make heaven pornographic. So that, yeah, you can't have that, yeah, in heaven, that sin. Yeah. None of that. Jesus's blood covered our sins, we're forgiven.
Absolutely.
When we go up there, it's just a judgment for the works we did, how we responded to Jesus working through our lives. And I find so many Christians don't know that.
You're exactly right. I remember one time when I was a teenager, an evangelist said that very thing. Could be a giant movie screen. Everything you've ever done will be put up there. Well, I'm telling you, I wasn't looking for that.
Yeah, not at all.
I made me not want to go. I thought, how humiliating.
We've talked here a lot about judgment and rewards, but let's begin to focus in a moment here now on rewards and what that's all about. Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy and our interview with Pastor Glenn Meredith about good works and eternal rewards.
Pastor Glenn, you brought up Ephesians 2:10 about Christians know they have a purpose on life. God created us to do good works, but a lot of Christians don't know that there's rewards that come along with those works, the work of Jesus through us and how we respond to it. Let's share then, what are some of these rewards that people can expect in heaven?
Nathan, I think that's one of the most important subjects we could talk about today, because I believe so many Christians are under this false impression that they're going to get to heaven one day and that everybody's going to be the same. That really, no matter how you lived in this world, that we're going to get there and heaven's going to be the same for everyone. And I think they have come to that conclusion based on really their faulty logic, certainly not on the Bible. It's almost like a person reasons within themselves, well, if I get to heaven and someone's got more rewards than me, then I would be jealous.
Yes.
Since there's not going to be jealousy in heaven, then therefore we must just all be the same. And yet the Bible is very clear that there are a number of different ways that God rewards His people.
So like
for example, He talks about crowns. I know that there's at least five different crowns that are talked about in the Bible. We're talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It talks about what we might call the victor's crown. Paul talks about in a race, all the runners run, but only one wins the prize. And he exhorts the believers, run to win the prize. And he says they do it. These runners in the games run to get a crown that is temporary, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever.
This, so we're talking about an actual physical crown on our actual physical bodies in heaven.
I think so.
Okay.
We'll see. But I think it's true.
So we'll be all walking around with it.
I think that crown is sort of a distinction. I think we'll get to heaven. It's my opinion. I think we'll get to heaven. We'll be able to look over and say, oh, well, there's a person, the victor's crown. That person ran the race that was set before them. They ran faithfully. They laid aside the weights and the sin that so easily besets us.
Exhibited self-control.
Yeah, exhibited self-control. So the victor's crown. You have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about the crown of rejoicing, which seems to be the soul winner's crown, a crown that designates those who won people to faith in Jesus Christ. You have 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, one this ministry is certainly very familiar with, when he talks about the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness, Paul says, will be given to me and to all of those who love his appearing. So surely the staff of this wonderful ministry, all your partners that help support this ministry, people who tune in week after week to, because they long for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says.
We'll be wearing multiple crowns possibly?
I think possibly.
They'll be stackable? Or
absolutely. I have no idea.
Now these are Stephanos, not diadem, right? Exactly. Stephanos meaning they're given to us, whereas diadem means it's the ruling. God wears
the
diadem, but we wear the Stephanos.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's my opinion. There's a fourth crown that is talked about in the book of James, for example. It's called the crown of life. That crown is given to those who have been tested and who have been tempted, and yet they've remained faithful to the Lord. Revelation talks about even faithful even unto death, and Jesus says, I will give you the crown of life.
So the martyrs get a special
crown. Okay. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, it talks about a crown for shepherds of God's flocks. And
you'll get a special crown
for faithful pastors. Yeah. So you have all these different crowns, and as you pointed out, I believe that certainly it would be possible for some people to be living faithfully for God and winning souls, and maybe they get multiple crowns. But I imagine that we'll get to heaven one day, and that we will see these people walking, and they have these crowns on, and we'll go, well, that person won souls for Christ, and that person gave their life, the martyr's crown, for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so there's distinctions.
Besides crowns, what would they be wearing? Is there rewards based on, say, clothing, styles of clothing?
I don't know. We might ought to ask.
Yeah. Because I hear about white robes.
Well, it says here that to her, the bride of Christ, is given fine linen, bright and clean, that will reflect the righteous acts of the saints. So there may be some sort of emblems on robes or whatever that would indicate different things that we did in service to the Lord. I just think it's just going to be all kinds of different awards that are going to be given out.
You know, you think about perhaps different levels of glory that is somehow revealed in us.
Yes.
He talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, these light afflictions that are but for a moment are working for us an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Romans chapter 8, I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
Then you have the Bible teaches that we're going to reign with Christ.
Yeah, a lot of people write into this ministry and they're like, what are we going to be doing during the millennial kingdom? What does the Bible say as a reward for believers?
Some of the rewards are going to be given out before we get to the eternal state.
Exactly.
In the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. He said, I'll put one over one city, one over five, one over ten. So I think during the millennial reign, you're going to have every person who is in a position of authority on planet Earth will be a person in a glorified body, and we'll be reigning over those in fleshly bodies. So every mayor, every governor, every president, king, whatever, Jesus will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Jerusalem. It says that David will be in his glorified body, the King of Israel. And then we're going to be scattered all over the world to reign, but we're going to have degrees of reigning authority, and that's part of the reward.
I think that's correct. And then you also add to that in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked about lay up treasures in heaven. Hmm. And so you've got different degrees of treasure. First Timothy chapter 6, Paul is exhorting those who are rich in this world, and he says, exhort or command them to be generous and to be rich in good works so that they might lay up treasures in heaven, which is a firm foundation for the coming age. So you've got these people in heaven one day who are going to have different crowns. They've got perhaps different ways that the glory of God is revealed through them. They've got different authority that's been given to them, delegated to them by the Lord Jesus Christ based on their faithfulness in this world and serving Him. You've got different amounts of treasure in heaven. And then in addition to that, this is astounding, but in Matthew chapter 5, for example, Jesus says that some people in the kingdom will be called least in the kingdom and others will be called great in the kingdom.
Huh.
And He said those who do not obey God and who teach others to not obey will be called least in the kingdom. Those who obey and teach others to obey will be called great. So obviously some will be called least, some will be called great. Some have great treasure, some have little treasure or no treasure, some have multiple crowns perhaps, some no crowns. So not everyone's going to be the same in heaven. There's going to be
And incidentally, with regard to those rewards I mentioned during the millennium of degrees of reigning authority, that will also carry over into the eternal state, because we're told we're going to reign forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's going to even be degrees of reigning authority in the eternal state.
That's exactly
I like what
correct.
You said, too, about the glorified bodies that we'll be in during the millennial kingdom. That's a form of reward, that we'll have a new, brand new body. But to me, I think the most important is that we'll dwell with our Heavenly Father forever. Really? I mean, what a reward that God had sent His own Son to die to make that type of reward happen, to have fellowship with God like the Garden of Eden again forever. And to me, that's the best. Who cares about my crown or not? I want to be with God forever.
Well, you know, another thing that occurs to me is that the Bible teaches that when you're born again, that you are immediately given not only the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit gifts you in a supernatural way. You get some sort of supernatural gift. It may be where you're talented. It may not be where you're talented. For example, I've seen singers who were great singers, but when they became members of the Lord's body, He did not gift them there. They still great singers, but they could get up and sing the Lord's Prayer and people applaud. Somebody who's gifted gets up and sings it and maybe doesn't sing it perfectly, but everybody's weeping at the end because they're gifted by the Holy Spirit to touch people for Jesus. So we're given gifts, and we may be given additional gifts as we go along. And how do we use those gifts to advance the kingdom? I think we're going to be judged on that. I gave you the gift of mercy. How did you use it? I gave you the gift of administration. How did you use it to advance my kingdom? And along that line, I think the Bible indicates that we're going to be judged of the quantity of our works and the quality of our works and even the motivation of our works.
That's right.
I can imagine some person who world famous right now, maybe a great television evangelist, somebody who's known all over the world, and he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, on the day that you were born again, I gave you the gift of evangelism and you used it mightily to bring many people in the kingdom, but I knew your motivation. And your motivation was to get your picture on the front of Time magazine, and you did, and so here's your reward, your picture of Time magazine.
Brother Dave, I believe that that is so important, because I think that's where many Christians make the mistake. Yeah. When you talk to Christians about rewards, they often go, oh, no, I'm not doing it for the reward. Because they think that if their motive is to do it for the reward, that that disqualifies them. Mm-hmm. They misunderstand that Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it is, He says, don't do it for the praise of men.
There you go.
So the wrong motive is when I'm doing these works so that people will look at me and say, well, isn't He wonderful? Then Jesus said, that's what's wrong. But He says, no, instead of praying in public where everybody thinks what a great prayer you are, go into your closet, pray in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So Jesus said, He's going to reward you. Go in there and do it, so He'll reward you. Just don't do it for the reward of men.
I think we'll be in heaven and we'll be surprised how some of the greatest names in teaching, because of the lack of improper motive or whatnot, creates a small crown, whereas the little old lady no one knew about who filled the communion cups every weekend diligently will probably be staggering around heaven with this massive crown.
Absolutely. Jesus we'll be surprised. Even says, that on that day the least will be first, or the last will be first, the first will be last.
Well, it's one of the reasons that I teach very strongly that people need to find out what their spiritual gifts are. And there's many ways to do that. I mean, you can study the Word. You can talk to people who know you. You can talk to your pastor. You can take spiritual gifts inventory tests and to help you find out what are your gifts and use them to advance the kingdom.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Well, Glenn, I know from the sermon that I heard you give that stirred me so much, the part of it that really challenged me was the last part where you began to talk about, will these crowns be temporary, handed to you and you just hand them back and that's it, or will they be something that will be eternal in nature? So in just a moment, I want to come back and discuss that.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy with our interview of Pastor Glenn Meredith on Heavenly Rewards.
Well, Glenn, I want to kick off this section by just saying to you that the most fascinating part of your presentation that Sunday I heard you talk about heavenly rewards was the last section where you talked about whether or not these rewards would be something temporary or permanent. And the traditional teaching has always been that the rewards are very temporary, that you receive them, you put them back at the feet of Jesus to honor Him, and that's it. You walk away and that's the end of the rewards. Based, I think, primarily upon one scene in the book of Revelation chapter 4 where it shows some fellows in heaven who have some golden crowns and they put them at the feet of Jesus. So you didn't share that view of it that being temporary in nature, and that was really got me to thinking. So I want you to share what with us your thinking about that.
Well, that had always sort of been my understanding. It's certainly what I was taught, or at least what I kind of picked up through the years, was that we would get these crowns, perhaps, if we had lived faithfully, we would be given a crown, perhaps at the judgment seat. But then very shortly thereafter, there'd be this great worship service there in heaven. We'd take off the crown, we'd cast it at the feet of Jesus, and then from that point on, everything is just the same. We've got, you know, nothing else. Well, as I was reading one day, I'm looking, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul is exhorting the Corinthians and believers to run this race to win this crown. And he says to them that the runners who run in the games run to get a crown that is temporary. Mm. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And so, well, it seems a little strange that his whole point there is don't run for this temporary crown. Well, if our crown, even our heavenly crown, were temporary, then that takes away some of the motivation, I think, of why we should strive for it. But Paul says the opposite. He says you ought to run for this crown that will last forever. You get over to 1 Peter chapter 5, and he talks about the crown of glory that's given to faithful pastors and shepherds of the flock. And it says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, he will bring with him and give to you an unfading crown of glory. That word unfading, it really means perpetual or forever. And it's the same word that's used earlier in 1 Peter, where he's talking about our inheritance in heaven that is unfading and it's imperishable. And so I believe that the rewards are going to be permanent. I believe, as you've already pointed out, that this authority that we're given to rule and reign is both in the millennial kingdom, but he also says that we will reign with him forever and ever. And so I believe that this authority is permanent.
What is wonderful to me is to think about the fact that we will have, as it puts it, the mind of Christ. I'm not sure what all that means. That's a mighty big statement. But it says we're going to have the mind of Christ, we'll be in glorified bodies, and that we will be in such a state that we will not be the least bit jealous, envious of any other person's crown or any glory that's given to them. Instead, we would want to go up and hug them and say, oh, I am exactly. So glad that you, it is so wonderful that you did all these wonderful things for the advancement of the kingdom. Isn't that wonderful to think of having an existence like that?
Exactly. Well, you think about how do you feel when your children or when someone that you love excels or does something and is honored. You're happy for them. Well, I think that's how it's going to be in eternity. We're going to love one another there. We're all part of the same family, and we're going to love one another there, and I think that's exactly right. I believe rather than being jealous, I think we're going to look and say, man, I am just so blessed.
But I think in our fallen state, though, right now, it's hard to imagine that. You know, it's just, I'm just going to be consumed with jealousy and envy.
Yeah, that's correct.
There's a beautiful scene in the movie Chronicles of Narnia, and I think C.S. Lewis believes what you do, that these crowns you keep, you use them as acts of worship. You take them off and bow before the Lord, but then you put them back on. But there's one scene where the four children each get a crown, and they each get an area to rule, and they're beautiful crowns. They did such a good job in the movie. But you see them put them on again throughout what's remainder of the movie, and we will continue to, because we're all living examples of God's workmanship through us for eternal. You know, we don't get it and then just give it to him, but that forever we are praising God based on the works that we did here. Mm. That's a heavy burden to bear, but it's also a wonderful burden.
And I really think when it all boils down to it, therefore, that really what God says is it really matters how we live our life now.
Yes, amen.
And too many Christians, I believe, are just sort of passing through this world and not really intentionally trying to make a difference in the world. They're not using those spiritual gifts that God has given to them. They're not taking advantage of the opportunities that God lays before them. Mm-hmm. And so it is really important. We get such a brief time. This life that we live is like a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away, and yet it has eternal ramifications, not just where we're going to spend eternity, but really what our eternity is going to be like, the reward that we will have, and I believe the service that we'll be able to perform for Christ there is all dependent upon how we live right now.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I was going to ask you to wrap up this particular section by saying, well, now what is the message? Well, you just gave the message. The message basically is that once you begin to believe in what the Bible really says about rewards and what it really says about good works, you begin to be motivated even more than ever before to really get serious about being a more than just a back pew Christian who sits there and absorbs and never does anything for the
exactly
advancement
right.
of God.
Exactly right.
Well, that is a tremendous message, and I appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thank you.
I remember the day that you delivered it, and I just got so excited. And and then I wanted to put that together in a video album and found out that the camera didn't work.
That's
right.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So anyway, well, what we're going to do, though, is we're going to tell people in a few minutes how they can get a copy of this particular item, which is entitled Heaven, Its Nature, and Its Meaning. And it contains three programs that we did about heaven that people have always been enthralled by, particularly one of them in there, will your pet be in heaven? And
yes.
We go into great detail about what all the Bible has to say about that, and people just love to watch that program. In fact, we have pets on the program. We even have a cat, and I don't care for cats too much, but we had a cat so that the cat lovers would be happy as well as the dog lovers. So we'll be telling people in a few minutes how to get a copy of that. Well, Glenn, I want to thank you so much for being our special guest. You've really been a blessing to us.
Well, thank you, brother. And I thank you for having me here today. It's so nice to get to meet you and your staff. And I would like to just take a moment to say to your viewers, what a blessing you have been to me, my family, and our church, that God led you and your sweet wife to join our church. And sometimes people who watch programs like this, they don't get to be with the people up close and personal, and I just want to say to your people, he is the real deal.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Praise the Lord. How can people get in touch with you? You mind looking at that camera and letting
sure.
them know?
You can contact me at our website at www.brookhavenchurch.com, and you can get in touch with us there. All of our contact information is there on the website.
Well, once again, I want to mention the video that we're going to tell you how to get in touch with, how to get a copy of, and it is one that I'm sure a lot of people really need to watch, because most people think of heaven as an ethereal place, disembodied spirits floating around in a cloud playing a harp, worshiping forever, nothing very interesting to do. And this says, no, it's for real. We're going to have bodies, we're going to have crowns, we're going to have meaningful things to do. And so I encourage people to find out what heaven's really going to be like according to the Word of God. Well, folks, that's our program for this week. I hope it's been a blessing to you, and I hope you will be back with us next week, the Lord willing. Until then, this is Dave Reagan speaking for myself and Nathan Jones saying, look up, be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near.
For detailed information about heaven, you need to get a copy of Dr. Reagan's video titled, Heaven, Its Nature and Meaning. As Dr. Reagan presents what the Bible says about heaven in this 75-minute video presentation, he's assisted by two colleagues, Dennis Pollack of Spirit of Grace Ministries and Don McGee of Crown and Sickle Ministries. These three men will challenge you to think about heaven in ways you have never considered. Divided into three parts, the first part introduces what the Bible says about the nature and meaning of heaven. The second part focuses on the question of whether or not our pets will be in heaven. The final section features the commonly asked questions. You will find the section about pets to be particularly entertaining, as Dr. Reagan interviews three dogs and a cat. Another very special feature is two great songs by Jack Hollingsworth of Acts 29 Ministries. You can secure a copy of this video for a gift of $12 or more, plus shipping. Just call the number you see on the screen, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time, or order online at lamblion.com. Lamb and Lion Ministries is a faith ministry that depends upon your donations to pay our broadcast costs.
Thank you for joining us on today's Christ in Prophecy, a presentation of Lamb and Lion Ministries, a non-denominational ministry dedicated to teaching the fundamentals of biblical prophecy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus.